I want you to look again tonight here in Matthew chapter 4, and I want you to notice very carefully the unmistakable and the uncoincidental parallels between this chapter in the New Testament and the parallel chapter in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. In fact, what I'm going to do is read a line for you from Deuteronomy after reading a line with you here in Matthew chapter 4, and so I want you to listen to them. Read them and then listen to them and see the connection. We begin here in chapter 4, and you'll notice what it says in verse 1, the first part of verse 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness." Verse 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights." All right, now, with that in mind, listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. "The Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And verse 3 says, "And to humble thee and suffer thee to hunger." So, Israel led into the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord Jesus led, the Bible says, into the wilderness for 40 nights. Here again, Matthew chapter 4, notice what it says again in verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or proved or tested of the devil." Listen to what it says again in Deuteronomy. "The Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart." Matthew chapter 4 again, notice verse 2. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Here's again Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Listen to what it says. "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger." Finally, Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Guess where it was written? The same text we've been reading from. Let me read it. It says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." In other words, you see what's happening, do you not, in this wilderness? Satan recognizes this entire scenario. I recognize this scenario Satan is basically saying, and I remember God's people hungering in the wilderness, and you fed them with manna, bread from heaven. Well, basically, the devil says, do the manna thing again. Make yourself some miracle bread. And Jesus answers Satan by quoting the very text that stated why God provided manna in the first place. I'll remind you that in that text in Deuteronomy, shortly after that very scene, Joshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus, or for Savior, was about to lead the people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Here in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is beginning his public ministry. He's the real Joshua, the real Savior. And Satan knows that he is about to lead all of God's children out of the wilderness into spiritual Canaan. It's a simple reminder that Matthew chapter 4, not surprisingly, is far more spiritually significant, deeper and richer. It's far more meaningful than most of us probably realize at first glance. God had a reason. It says the Spirit in verse 1 led Jesus into the wilderness in order to be tempted of the devil. There was a specific and a strategic purpose for our Lord Jesus to quote this great Old Testament text when being tempted by Satan. So what I want us to do tonight is take a few moments and consider precisely what it was. A, that God said to Israel. B, that Jesus said to the devil. And C, that the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God says to all of us sitting here tonight. There are three words I want you to notice in Matthew 4 and Deuteronomy that, if we fully understood them, sort of unlocks the door, if you will, to this entire narrative and the parallel passage in the Old Testament. The first word you'll notice, number one, is the word alone. Look at verse 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." I'm sorry, go down to verse 4. "And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, folks, the word alone, and in Deuteronomy it's the word only, is a very, very important statement in and of itself. You know why? Because it's a reminder that man, that God's creation, does live by bread. This is God's design. And so you understand that without a human body, Christ became flesh, God could never have been tempted with bread. But Jesus could. He could be hungry. God in the flesh could. And Satan, Lucifer, was very quick to jump on that opportunity. He knew that our Lord was fasting. Now, I want to say this again. God has made man to live on bread. God has made you and I to live on food. Verse 2 says that Jesus was hungry. Verse 3 says Satan uses the word bread. Verse 4, Jesus uses the word bread. In Deuteronomy, Moses wrote the word bread, and God the Father spoke the word bread. Now, for that matter, I want us to think for a moment about this matter of bread, about food. Bread is the world's staple. And as such, it's always stood for the very staff of life. When I was a kid, my friends even called money bread. You got any bread, man, and so on. And of course, to break bread with people is universally understood as eating a meal. To women, we're talking about how rarely they get to eat out. And one woman said, well, I have this amazing breaded chicken casserole recipe that I've perfected through the years. It's wonderful, she said. All I have to do is mention it to my husband, and he says, let's eat out. Amen? So, but again, I want us to consider this issue of food and bread, and especially so in light of this word only, because it's a vital word. It's in both of these texts. The Lord spoke it, Moses wrote it, and God the Father gave it to him. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because you do realize that herein is the eternal difference between you and beast, between man and animal. Man lives by food. Animals live by food. But man, God said, created in God's image, does not live by bread or food alone. If you throw some corn to some pigs in a hog pen, they'll eat it. And they'll eat it looking down the entire time without ever looking up with a heart of gratitude. Animals eat and people eat. But even in the eating, there is a spiritual difference. You throw a piece of bologna to your dog and he'll swallow it whole. Just boom, gone. And he'll never sit down and write an article for Canine Cuisine about the flavor and the texture and the quality. Matter of fact, throw him a chunk of filet mignon, he'll swallow that whole, just like the bologna. So don't waste the filet mignon on the dog. Throw him the bologna, amen? You see, there's something different about man. You may have noticed throughout the Bible how God describes food. Even in that text in Deuteronomy, the wilderness wandering, he said that God says, I gave you manna that your fathers never tasted. And he called it angel's food, remember? It's described in the Bible, in Psalms and in the Old Testament, as white bread, sweet as honey. The Bible said it was soft and sweet and fresh every single morning, which is Krispy Kreme donuts. I know, somebody out there said it, right? All they ever had before that was a bagel. You know, a bagel is just, it's just bread, hardened bread that's got rigor mortis, if you will, unsweetened donut. And they're boiled, for crying out loud. I don't know why anybody eats them, but I will say, if you toast them, butter them, put jelly on them, they're good. So it's basically a jelly donut at that point. Animals eat to live. But what the Bible's saying here, if you think about it, is man eats to live and also lives to eat. I love food. You love food. I really love food. Someone asked me, he was an animal lover once, what my favorite animal was, and I said steak. Amen? But there's a huge difference. In fact, there is a spiritual difference between a man and an animal when it comes to food. A monkey will eat fruit and nuts, but they don't take the seeds from the cacao tree and ferment them and ground them after roasting and produce a cocoa mass that's then processed into cocoa butter and then ultimately chocolate. You know how perfect a food chocolate is? I mean, I know it has preservatives, but preservatives keep you young. At least that's how I feel about it. But Pastor, if you eat some chocolate, it deprives your whole day's calories. I know. How convenient. Amen? There are creatures who might consume coffee beans. And they might consume coffee beans up in some mountain of Colombia or Jamaica, but that's not what man does. Man makes an entire lifestyle out of harvesting and roasting and blending and perfecting in 100 ways to what? To enjoy. Not just consume, but to enjoy the product of that coffee bean. A pack of wolves, they don't get around and have a cup of coffee after dessert. To enjoy that thing. I've read this before, but this is what Henry Ward Beecher, the writer, the poet, once wrote about coffee. Listen to this. I have to use these, of course. A cup of coffee, real coffee, home-browned, home-ground, homemade, that comes to you dark as a hazel eye, but changes to a golden bronze as you temper it with cream that never cheated, but was real cream from its birth, thick, tenderly yellow, perfectly sweet, neither lumpy nor frothing on the Java, and such a cup of coffee is a match for 20 blue devils and will exorcise them all. Wow, do you reckon a pelican ever feels that way when a finger mullet goes down his throat? No. Animals don't have cafes or bistros or coffee shops. Only man would pay $6 for a cup of Starbucks. Amen? Remember when Starbucks had those spiritual sayings on the cups? I thought of one for India. Holy cow, this coffee's expensive. Amen? Put that on the cup. Man does not live by bread alone. Why? Now think about it. This is a statement by God. This is a spiritual truth. Man does not live by bread alone. Why? When it comes to man, created in the image of God, he lives by bread, but not alone. Well, that leads to the second word in the story. And that is the word led. In verse 4, you'll see it says that Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness. The parallel passage says this. Listen to it carefully. It's the word that. He says, their fathers did know that he led them to the wilderness, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now hear this carefully. When God's people were hungry, and God designed them to be hungry, God fed them with a miraculous manna from heaven. When he did so, the word that there here and led, it tells us that there was a reason for that provision. In fact, did you know that anytime God provides bread to those who are hungry, he does so with this built-in revelation? This built-in revelation that man does not live by bread alone. Here's how the poet put it. Back of the loaf is the snowy flour. Back of the flour, the mill. Back of the mill are the wheat and the shower, the son and the father's will. In other words, note this carefully. Unlike the hogs in that pen, whenever you're provided with corn from above, whenever mankind is provided, it doesn't have to be, you say, oh, but if God provided miracle manna tomorrow morning because we had a famine in America, then I would look up. No. God provides you miracle manna every day. And back of that good gift, there is always a spiritual message. Man is constantly pointed. When he has food in his hand and he takes it to his mouth, something should testify to his heart. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I sit in restaurants and I see people and they order the food. And that's it. Gone. Okay. But is that how it's supposed to be? We said that the hogs are thrown corn and they look down and they eat and they never look up. Is that how God designed it? We noted this morning that James 1:17 says every good and perfect gift is from above. And the Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So if it's good and it tastes good and it's healthy good, shouldn't it lead us to repentance? Here's what he said in that text. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and a land of oil and a land of honey. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. How many Americans, we have the best land probably in the history of the world. its rainfall, its soil. How many Americans now thank God for the good land because of what it produces in the food we receive? You see, every time you hunger and then are satisfied in that hunger with food, you are illustrating two self-evident truths. Number one, man lives by bread. That bread is provided by God. And number two, man does not live by bread alone. And of course, the further away that you get from God, that man becomes, the more he behaves like an animal. These are barbarians who live on basic instincts. Romans 1 actually describes entire societies like that, explaining that degradation always begins when they knew God, glorified him not as God, quote, neither were thankful. Are we thankful tonight? Are we a grateful people? I wonder how many of us in this room actually complained about the staple or the food that we ate today. Man lives by bread because bread reminds us that God is good. And that brings us then to the most important thing of all. The third word in the text is the word by. Look at Matthew 4 again and verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, folks, please hear this carefully. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus tells a story about two men, a rich man clothed in purple, and Lazarus, a beggar. In describing their entire earthly existence, the Lord Jesus contrasts both of them with one issue, the issue of food. Do you ever think about that? The rich man, he said, fared sumptuously every day. The beggar desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from that rich man's table. Eventually, they both died. The rich man, Jesus said, ended up in hell, and Lazarus was carried by the angels. It's a great picture, isn't it? Brother Fike did not die alone. A, his family members were there, but B, carried by the angels. The Lord Jesus tells us in this story, he said that in hell, the rich man devised a plan. He devised a plan whereby his five living brothers could be saved, delivered from ever having to come to this horrible place. Imagine that. Even in hell, man is inventing his own way of grace and salvation. So you know what he says? He says, "Father Abraham, send someone to them from the dead. In fact, send Lazarus because they know him. They'll remember him. If my brothers will see the resurrected Lazarus, they'll believe and then escape this horrible, horrible place." This was the rich man's wisdom. And you'll recall what Abraham said to him. He said, "No, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Understand what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. By the way, Abraham was in heaven before Moses and the prophets were written. He had a unique perspective on the word of God. The rich man said, "No." Imagine that. He said, "Nay, no, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent." Now, wait a minute. This rich man addressed Abraham respectfully. And you'll notice in the story Jesus tells, the patriarch acknowledged that by calling him son. In other words, that means that this man in hell was a fellow Jew, obviously a son of Abraham, and as such, he was no stranger to the synagogue and the reading of the scriptures. He knew exactly what Abraham meant by Moses and the prophets. But what does he say? He says, "Father Abraham, if the scriptures, if the word of God is all that my brothers have," well, I had that too, and it wasn't enough for me. "I know my brothers, and the Bible's not enough for them either. By the way, you know the rich man's plan of evangelism isn't unique to him. Today people say, the Bible's not enough to win our nation. The Bible's not enough to win our young people, our neighbors. We need a miracle, a show, entertainment. Bring up the bands. Bring in the clowns and the superstars and the choreographers. You can't expect the Bible alone to be enough. Well, actually, yes, you can. And so Abraham answered the rich man truthfully, and here's what he said. Son, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And as you all know, a few days after that very story, a man was raised from the dead. In fact, his name was actually Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother. And the Pharisees still refused to believe. You see, folks, he fared sumptuously every day. Who knows if he was ever hungry in his life? He lived by bread, but he tried living by bread alone. And God says that man cannot. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is so powerful. I want you to think about this for a moment. You're living tonight. You're alive. You're vertical right now, somewhat. And you ate today. You're living by bread. The question is, are you living by bread alone? The Bible says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Spirit's dead. Not long ago, I was walking out of the ICU there at St. Mary's, in and out several times, and just going past these patients. They're all hooked to ventilators and heart monitors and IVs. And each room, especially late at night, had visiting loved ones and family members. And obviously, they're very deeply concerned. Virtually every single family member I saw in those various rooms were weeping. Not all of them, but at some point in their time, they were concerned. They were in angst because they were there, usually some trauma, victim, something. And you see them and your heart breaks for them. And you realize and you're reminded that in times like that, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter so much that that patient lived by bread. Was it expensive bread? Was it cheap bread? Was it gourmet bread or fast food bread? Was it lots and lots of bread or just a minimum of bread? Did the man or the woman live by bread prepared by a personal chef? Or was it purchased with minimum wages? The nature of the bread in times like that, when eternity is facing them, is not a concern. What matters is whether or not the patient lived by bread alone. Bread only. What matters is whether or not those family members are right now living by bread alone. Because you see, folks, Satan makes this assumption that man only lives for bread. Remember what he said to God about Job. One of the most profound statements in all the Bible as its wrong perspective. Skin for skin, Lucifer said, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. In other words, the physical bread, Satan said, is the most precious thing that man has. So he thought that he could tempt Jesus successfully with bread alone. But I'll remind you tonight that Jesus' answer to Satan is his admonition to us. Man is different than animals. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Perhaps some of you here tonight are only living for meat that perisheth. In John chapter 6, the Lord said to a group of people, ye seek me because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Wait a minute, everlasting life? Oh yeah, an abundant life. And the Lord Jesus said what we, all of us, must say over and over again in our lives. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. Food is a blessing. Food is a gift. Give us this day our daily bread, we're told to pray. In every way, God wants to receive and enjoy his gifts, but in every way, he wants those gifts to remind us that it always and all comes from above, that indeed it is never to be received or enjoyed, here it is the word, alone. Because man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The question then tonight is simple for me and all of us. It concerns your spirit and your soul and to what issue the Holy Spirit convicts you about you as well fulfilling the will of God. Because one thing is for sure. If this book, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right there with your bread, your meal in the morning, your meal at noon, your meal at night, if this book is not something you hunger for and consume in the same way and higher that you do food, then you're growing weaker in your spirit, regardless of how you're growing in the flesh. It is not by accident that every single time Satan came to Jesus and tempted him with a different temptation, every single time he answered what? It is written. He came and he said, turn the stones to bread. It is written. He went to the Word of God. Bow down and I'll give you, it is written. The only way that you and I can say to Satan, to Lucifer, to the temptations of the world, the flesh of the devil, the only way that we can say it is written is if we know that it's written. And we know what is written. And the only way you can do that is if you're taking the bread of life into your heart, your mind, and your spirit. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of your Son who showed us exactly how to combat the flesh, the world, and the devil. And I pray, God, we will recognize that we live by bread because of your goodness and your mercy and your wisdom. And that bread constantly reminds us of grace. And that the goodness of God leads us back to you. But thank you for reminding us tonight when we don't live by bread alone. That you have given to us your word, and every word that proceeds out of your mouth we hold in our hands. May we be faithful to it. May we even someday arise to being as faithful to that every day as we are to physical bread. And we will praise you, Father, for the fruit that remains because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.